Altari sneaked a look at Niemannen, sitting quiet as a mouse as they drove out to Swavelshire. Unlike Lundin, Niemannen was never very easy to deal with. He had the face of a model and looked weak, but he had a short fuse and was a dangerous fucker, especially when he had been drinking. Just then he was sober, but Valtari felt uneasy about having Niemannen as their leader in the future. Lundin had somehow always managed to keep Niemannen in line. He wondered how things would unfold now, with Lundin out of the way. At the clubhouse, Benny was nowhere to be seen. Niemannen called him twice on his mobile, but got no answer. They drove to Niemannen's place about half a mile farther down the road. The police had carried out a search, but they had evidently found nothing of value to the Nykvarn investigation, which was why Niemannen had been released. He took a shower and changed his clothes, while Valtari waited patiently in the kitchen. Then they walked about 150 yards into the woods behind Niemannen's property and scraped away the thin layer of soil that concealed a chest containing 6 handguns, including an AK-5, a stack of ammunition, and around 4 pounds of explosives. This was Niemannen's arms cache. 2 of the guns were Polish P-83 Vanats. They came from the same batch as the weapon that Salander had taken from him at Stallerholmen. Niemannen drove away all thoughts of Salander. It was an unpleasant subject. In the cell at Södertalje police station he had played the scene over and over in his head, how he and Lundin had arrived at Advocate Bjurman's summer house and found Salander apparently just leaving. Events had been rapid and unpredictable. He had ridden over there with Lundin to burn the damned summer cabin down, on the instructions of that goddamned blonde fucker. And then they had stumbled upon that bitch Salander, all alone, 5 feet tall, thin as a stick. Niemannen wondered how much she actually weighed. And then everything had gone to hell, exploded in a brief orgy of violence neither of them was prepared for. Objectively, he could describe the chain of events. Salander had a canister of mace, which she sprayed in Lundin's face. Lundin should have been ready, but he wasn't. She kicked him twice, and you don't need a lot of muscle to fracture a jaw. She took him by surprise. That could be explained. But then she took him too, Sonny Niemannen, a man who could make well-trained men cower. She moved so fast. He hadn't been able to pull his gun. She had taken him out easily, as if brushing off a mosquito. It was humiliating. She had a taser. She had... He could not remember a thing when he came to. Lundin had been shot in the foot, and then the police showed up. After some palaver over jurisdiction between Strängnäs and Södertalje, he wound up in the cells in Södertalje. Plus, she had stolen Magga's Harley. She had cut the badge out of his leather jacket, the very symbol that made people step aside in the line at the bar, that gave him a status that was beyond most people's wildest dreams. She had humiliated him. Niemannen was boiling over. He had kept his mouth shut through the entire series of police interrogations. He would never be able to tell anyone what had happened in Stallerholmen. Until that moment, Salander had meant nothing to him. She was a little side project that Lundin was messing around with, again commissioned by that fucking Niederman. Now he hated her with a fury that astonished him. Usually he was cool and analytical, but he knew that at some time in the future he would have to pay her back and erase the shame. But first he had to get a grip on the chaos that Svavelshire MC had landed in because of Salander and Niederman. Niemannen took the 2 remaining Polish guns, loaded them, and handed one to Valtari.
"Do we have a plan?"
"We're going to drive over and have a talk with Niederman. He isn't one of us, and he doesn't have a criminal record. I don't know how he's going to react if they catch him, but if he talks, he could send us all to the slammer. We'd be sent down so fast it'd make your head spin."
"You mean we should..."
Niemannen had already decided that Niederman had to be gotten rid of, but he knew that it would be a bad idea to frighten off Valtari before they were in place. "I don't know. We'll see what he has in mind. If he's planning to get out of the country as fast as hell, then we could help him on his way. But as long as he risks being busted, he's a threat to us." The lights were off at Goransson's place when Niemannen and Valtari drove up in the twilight. That was not a good sign. They sat in the car and waited.
"Maybe they're out," Valtari said.
"Right. They went to the bar with Niederman," Niemannen said, opening the car door. The front door was unlocked. Niemannen switched on an overhead light. They went from room to room. The house was well kept and neat, which was probably because of her, whatever her name was, the woman Goransson lived with. They found Goransson and his girlfriend in the basement, stuffed in a laundry room. Niemannen bent down and looked at the bodies. He reached out a finger to touch the woman whose name he could not remember. She was ice-cold and stiff. That meant they had been dead maybe 24 hours. Niemann did not need the help of a pathologist to work out how they had died. Her neck had been broken when her head was turned 180 degrees. She was dressed in a T-shirt and jeans and had no other injuries that Niemann could see. Göransson, on the other hand, wore only his underpants. He had been beaten, had blood and bruises all over his body. His arms were bent in impossible directions, like twisted tree limbs. The battering he had been subjected to could only be defined as torture. He had been killed, as far as Niemann could judge, by a single blow to the neck. His larynx was rammed deep into his throat. Niemann went up the stairs and out the front door. Valtari followed him. Niemann walked the 50 yards to the barn. He flipped the latch and opened the door. He found a dark blue 1991 Renault.
"What kind of car does Göransson have?" Niemann said. "He drove a Saab."
Niemann nodded. He fished some keys out of his jacket pocket and opened a door at the far end of the barn. One quick look around told him that they were too late. The heavy weapons cabinet stood wide open. Niemann grimaced.
"About 800,000 kroner, he said.
"What?"
"Svavosha MC had about 800,000 kroner stashed in this cabinet. It was our treasury."
Only three people knew where Svavosha MC kept the cash that was waiting to be invested and laundered. Göransson, Lundin, and Niemann. Niedermann was on the run. He needed cash. He knew that Göransson was the one who handled the money.